See if you can relate to this. Sometimes in our families, we have a third cousin on our mom's side who did something so bad in life that no one ever talks about him or even mentions his name. Could be. Why not? Why is his name not mentioned in that family? And you might say, no, that's not my family. But perhaps it is. Someone in your... some people get a little bit nervous when people dig into the family tree. Like, oh, don't dig too deep. Why is it? Because the folks are ashamed of him or the person or perhaps something that they have done, right? Sometimes in our family, and maybe more can relate to this, sometimes in our families we have someone who is called the black sheep of the family. Why is he or she known as the black sheep? Because they have done something or some things that the family may be ashamed of, right? And we may at least hesitate or flat out not mention his name or talk about him or her because we are ashamed of them or at least their actions. Do you agree with that? Believe it or not, everybody still awake, alive, alert, and enthusiastic. I figured out this morning, I think it must have been the time change. You're much more alert and alive, like awake and enthusiastic tonight than you were this morning. Believe it or not, sometimes we hesitate to talk about Jesus and the gospel. Sometimes we hesitate to talk about Jesus and the gospel so much, or even fail to mention the name of Jesus at all to others, so much so that it is as if we are ashamed of Jesus and the gospel. Think about that thought for just a moment. Now, we can understand why the third cousin on my mom's side, why we don't talk about him a lot because of what he did, or that black sheep, or at least don't talk about his actions, because there is some shame there. But what in the world has Jesus done that we should be ashamed of him? We kind of want to hide the fact that we are Christians sometimes. You know, we hesitate a little bit to let people know that we're Christians. And it has nothing sometimes to do with Jesus, but it has everything to do with what we're concerned about, how they might respond if they know I'm a Christian. And it is true. It is absolutely true. In this old world, if people know you're a Christian, some people will look down their nose at you or worse. And it's, I really believe without revival, it's going to get worse and worse. Again, sometimes it's if we cover up the name of Jesus and the gospel so much that we appear to be ashamed of Jesus and the gospel. Tonight, we're going to be talking about part 7 in this sermon series of leading someone to Jesus. Leading someone to Jesus. Tonight, we're going to look at, before leading someone to Jesus, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. Now, you know, I don't want you to tune me out right now from the very beginning and say, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, that's too strong of a word. Well, maybe something gets lost in the translation a little bit. But the Bible uses that word ashamed in several places. And we're going to look at that tonight. But I want you to examine your heart and life. Are you as bold and open to share the gospel and to share Christ as you ought to be? Now, the obvious reason for most of us is simply, no. But, you know, could there be an element of shame that we don't want people to think different of us? We don't want them to know that we're a Christian. So we're going to dive into that a little bit tonight. In the way of review, leading someone to Jesus, number one, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Amen. Now, I want you to impress somebody when someone asks you, now, what's all those words mean? Because you'll find those in most conservative churches. They say that we believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And they'll say, what's that mean? I want you to impress them next time they ask, okay? Inspired means God breathed. Inerrant means there's no errors in it. Infallible. Now that one trips people up a little bit. It's not even capable of errors because God is the author. Okay? Y'all good with that? Amen. All right. Now remember, impress somebody if I ask you what those mean sometime. They'll go, wow. Second, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. If we don't believe the Bible's true and what it says about salvation, we're not going to be a witness. We should. If we don't believe Jesus is the only way, we think, well, you'll get there some other way. But the Bible clearly says Jesus is the only way. Thirdly, we've already looked at, before leading someone to Jesus, we must know how to get there ourselves. So we got to know that we're saved. I guarantee you that if we don't know we're saved, we'll not be an effective witness for the Lord, because we got those doubts bouncing around in our head and those question marks. And it's kind of like we might a little hesitantly say something about Jesus every once in a while, but we're pretty kind of bound up in our own thoughts. Am I really saved? Make sure you're saved. As I tell people all the time, you know, if you have a loose piece of roofing on your roof, guess what? Or a loose piece of metal roofing on an old shed, what do? As best you can, you get up there and put a nail in it. Nail it down. If you're not sure you're saved, nail it down. Make sure you're saved. Then also, know how to get there ourselves. Part of that is the way to be saved in Romans Road, you know, to be able to take them through Scripture. And then we summarize that by the ABCs of salvation. You know, admit you're a sinner before God, ask Him to forgive you. Believe Jesus died for you on the cross as the Son of God and resurrected back to life. And confess Jesus as your Savior. Point number four in this sermon series, before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe what the Bible says about heaven, that it's real. We ought to be so excited about heaven that we want everyone to go with us. I mean, really, let us have a good product or something good to eat. We bought at Sam's the other day, like, oh man, you guys need to try that. Well, that's nothing compared to how great heaven's going to be. So if we really believe the Bible's true, we ought to be telling people, you know what, don't you want to go to heaven? It's going to be great. Number five under this sermon series, leading someone to Jesus. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must believe what the Bible says about hell. It is real. It is real. It's so bad. If we really believe what the Bible says about hell, it's so bad that we would not want any single individual in this world to go to hell. You know, I don't know where in the world that expression got, that curse, you know, go to. It's like, my goodness, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I mean that. We ought to realize how bad it is. Remember I talked about the cellar door to heaven. If we could pull it down for a moment, look up into heaven, I think we'd be a whole lot better witness. If we'd open up that cellar door to hell and look down in there and have the smells of hell and the groans and the moans and the gnashing, I think we'd all be a whole lot more faithful at leading people to Jesus. Point number six that we've already looked at. Before leading someone to Jesus, we must have a concern, a heart, a burden for the lost around us. Paul says in Romans 9:1-5, for I could wish myself were accursed for Christ for my brethren. I mean, that's really having a burden for the lost. I really believe what he's saying is, if it would help you be saved, my brothers, by nationality, Jews that is, if it would help you to be saved by me being lost again or being accursed before God, so be it. Because I love you that much. I have that much concern for you. We need to have that concern for the lost. Point number seven, before leading someone to Jesus, we must get some boldness. We must get some boldness. Remember the church prayed and the place was shaken and it said they shared the gospel with boldness. We really need to have a good dose of boldness in our hearts and lives. Tonight, before leading someone to Jesus, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. Now, as I look at that word, ashamed, it seems to be, I'm going to try to explain it as best as I think of it in my brain. Now, granted, there's not a whole lot of anything to back it up other than the word ashamed is used a lot. There is two Greek words that I looked at quite a few times, several times at least, that were mentioned that are translated ashamed, and I think that is a good translation, the word ashamed. But it seems to me to be somewhat of an embarrassment to share. You know, maybe you say, well, I'm not ashamed, but are you embarrassed to share the gospel? In a sense, that's being ashamed of the gospel. You know, you're embarrassed. Perhaps a hesitancy. Maybe it speaks of a hesitancy. And that's what I'm saying, maybe. It seems to me that it could mean these type of things, like a hesitancy, a shyness, an unwillingness to share because of possible repercussions. It's perhaps a covering up of the gospel on purpose because of what people might think. All those, I believe, would fit under the category of being ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Now, now that word ashamed is pretty bold and pretty stern. And we might hesitate to say that I'm ashamed of the gospel, but do you hesitate to share the gospel? Are you shy about sharing the gospel? Are you unwilling to share the gospel? Are you embarrassed at times to share? All of those, I think, fit under that category of being ashamed, if you really want to boil it down. Now, if you think about this, what would be the opposite of being ashamed of the gospel? I believe the word would be, I'm proud of the gospel. Now, I know there's the wrong kind of pride. You know, like, I'm proud, I'm puffed up because I'm so great, so good looking, and such an athlete. And so, I mean, yeah, all that's pride that is very misplaced. And you say, well, looking at you, preacher, it's very misplaced. But there is a rightful type of being proud. We should be proud, if you will, of Jesus. I mean, who he is does not depend on what I think of him, but we as his children, we ought to be so proud of what Jesus did for us and so thankful for what Jesus did for us. Do you know without Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross, his willingness to even come to this earth, to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem? I mean, he could have come as a king in a palace, would have been a whole lot more palatable to me if I was in his shoes, but he came as a vulnerable baby. Lived a perfect life, had people abuse him all over the place and talk about him and try to trip him up and question his ministry, whether he was from God, all the things he went through, and he did it for us. And then he died on the cross. The Bible says he could have called 72,000 angels. And that's just a statement of a bunch of angels at the point. But he went to the cross for us. He died a cruel death, paid the sin debt for us, shed his innocent blood. He never did anything wrong, and resurrected back to life. And he did all that. We ought to be so proud of the fact that Jesus, God's Son, came for me. Do y'all agree with that? So rather than covering it up, rather than being shy about it or hesitant or embarrassed to open our mouth for Jesus, we ought to listen. Now, I think boldness, what we talked about last week, is somewhat akin to the way we should feel. But when we're proud of something, we want everybody to know, right? We want to share the news with everyone, like a new dad or a mom. If you have kids and you had a child, wasn't you on cloud nine for a while? Until you had to change that first diaper. Or second diaper, or third diaper. I remember with our boys, I asked Amy about this to kind of clarify it. I was thinking along these lines too. Guess what we got? Now, of course, we don't believe in smoking, so we didn't buy cigars. But we got bubble gum. For Ryan, when he was born, we got bubble gum cigars. They were blue. And they said, it's a boy. I don't specifically remember, and Amy's not 100% sure whether it had any of those specifications there. You know, the name, the weight, and the height or the length. I don't think that one did. But we were so proud that God had given us a son named Ryan that we got blue bubble gum cigars and gave them out to people. Because we were proud. We didn't want to cover it up. We weren't embarrassed about it. It's like, hey, I'm a dad, right? When Jason was born, we did something a little different. We had miniature Hershey bars. And it said on there, it's a boy. And I think his specs were on there. I think name, date of birth, weight, and length, I believe. And again, something like that you're proud of, you want. Or even as things get a little bit older, as your kids get a little bit older and they score the winning touchdown. I mean, mom and dad, now you don't want your kids to go around bragging about it. But mom and dad, that's a whole different story, right? For instance, yesterday they had this competition down there, flag football at Ambassador. There's three leagues. The whole campus is divided up in three leagues. Pretty competitive. And flag football, the Watchmen, Ryan and Jason's team, won. They won both games and won the championship for flag football. See, I'm not hesitant to say that. I'm like, man, because I'm proud of them for the young men that they are. But they contributed. You know, Jason's the quarterback, Ryan's the receiver, and you know they won. It's 2 years in a row they haven't lost a game in flag football, and we're like, yeah. But I'm telling you that to make a point. When we're proud of something, we're like, yeah, I want to tell you about this. So in a sense, can you see when we don't open our mouth to brag on Jesus and to share the gospel, it's as if we're kind of ashamed of it, right? We're going to spend a little bit of time at looking at a few verses. Five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. We'll not take a whole lot of time on this, I don't believe. But five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Now listen, these are the very words of Jesus. Notice, five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Now we know, I think anybody here would say, well, we know we shouldn't be ashamed. But here's some really good, tangible reasons from the Word of God why we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Look at Mark 8:38. It says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, and of my words. So what was the words of Christ? That he came to save the world, right? That he is the Messiah. It says, in this adulterous and sinful generation. Wow. Wouldn't that pretty much describe our generation? Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, I don't believe this is teaching that if you're a Christian and you're ashamed to share the gospel and ashamed of Christ in a sense by not boldly proclaiming it that you're going to lose your salvation. I don't think that's what it's saying. But you know, when it talks about the shame of Christ toward us, don't you think we're going to stand before Jesus? So of what we could have been and what we could have done if we were not ashamed of the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone tells you, this is pretty, pretty tough stuff. When someone that you care about tells you, I am ashamed of you. That hurts, doesn't it? And it says, if I'm understanding this right, that if we act like we're ashamed of Jesus and don't live for him, don't tell others about Jesus, don't share the gospel with people around us with boldness and with pride because of who Jesus is, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. If I'm understanding this right, Jesus is going to say, you know what, I'm really ashamed of the way you didn't share the gospel. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's pretty powerful. Five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Number one, because I do not want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I never presume it, but I hope to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I don't presume that. I've heard some gospel songs, you know, when I hear well done, thou, I'm like, nah, that's kind of presumptuous. I'm not going to presume that I'll hear that. But that's what I would like to hear. I'd hate to hear from the words of Jesus, I'm ashamed of you for not sharing the gospel with the people I put in your path, the people I put in your family, the people I put in your workplace, the people I put in your neighborhood. Wow. Reason number two, five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Number one, because I do not want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Reason number two is found in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Let me read those verses. It says, according to my earnest expectation, Paul is writing to the local church at Philippi, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Nothing. I don't want to be ashamed of anything. When it comes to Christ, he's saying, but that with all boldness, You know, see, kind of the opposite of being ashamed, kind of the idea of being with boldness, tied into last week. As always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then he says, why? He says, you know, basically, you use the body however you want to. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. Why? For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Do you kind of catch what he's saying there? I mean, it goes on. I'll not take the time now, but, you know, it's good. I'd like to go home, Paul's really saying. But it's needful for me to stay for the churches and to encourage them and everything. But he says, for me to live is Christ. He's saying everything about life to me is Christ. You know how sometimes something bothers us and it's like right here all the time? You know, and you're trying to function and trying to do something and you just can't. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't get it out of your way. I believe Paul is saying, to me, Christ is life. It's like right here all the time. There's never a time that I don't think of Jesus and what he'd want me to do and how I can serve him and how I can boldly speak the gospel. Reason number two from that passage, we do not, or we should not, that is, be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, because my whole life is Christ. And in comparison to that, nothing else matters. If we get Christ, do you realize this? If we get Christ in the right proper perspective, in the right priority, everything else falls in place. Because my whole life is Christ. Therefore, we should not be ashamed of Christ in the gospel. Third reason to not be ashamed of Christ in the gospel is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll notice, all of these verses have the word ashamed in them. And 2 Timothy was written by Paul also to a younger preacher, the pastor at Ephesus. And he's given him advice on how to pastor that church and how to live for Christ. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 8 and 9. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He's given advice to this preacher. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now what is that? We would say the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of it. Nor of me, his prisoner. Paul said, don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. It's because I'm in jail. I didn't steal anything. I just serve in the Lord. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't, or Christ's testimony. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. But notice, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So if you suffer affliction, that's okay. Do what you know to do is right. And you've heard the expression, just let the chips fall where they may, right? Now notice what it says in verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Why should I not be ashamed of Christ in the gospel? Because I have been saved and I have been called for a purpose. Did you see that in that verse? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wow. That's almost enough to make me jump over a pew or something. I don't think I'll try it tonight. I can see with this kind of seating, that could be very painful. These aren't really pews, these are seats. So I could really get hurt. But the point is, that, just think about it. Before the world was formed, God called you. God has a purpose for you. And part of that purpose, Paul says, I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I'm not going to be ashamed of the testimony of Christ because I've been saved and I've been called for a purpose. Wow. not only should that convict us, that ought to make our heart feel a little bit bubbly and warm on the inside, give us the warm fuzzies that God loves us so much that he saved us and he gives us a purpose. Now see, the problem is a lot of people get saved and that's when the purpose really begins. And they get saved and they get fire insurance, so to speak, if they even get saved at all. And they're like, okay, I'm good. I'm not going to serve God. And they come to church for a little bit. You've heard the best way to get rid of squirrels in the church. You remember you heard that story? Yeah, baptize them. You'll never see them again. And it's that way with a lot of people that says, I'm saved. But man, that's when the purpose that God has called you for ought to kick in. And you say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I mean, we kind of categorize and say, well, you know, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a preacher. Those are specific callings in the church, absolutely. But God has called everybody to do something. And part of that something is sharing the gospel, leading someone to Jesus without shame, without being ashamed of the gospel. You see, reason not to be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, because I've been saved and I've been called for a purpose. And the same applies to everyone here. I'd really like to know the percentages, but then on the other hand, maybe I wouldn't want to know the percentages of how many people are actually in the calling that God has for their life. Some people, honestly, you mention this topic, and you can tell. It's just like a blank stare, almost. And I'm not saying anybody with a blank stare. Don't misunderstand me, but I've been doing this a while. And when I mention that God has a purpose for your life, they're kind of like, huh. I mean, it's like news to them. I want you to know that God has a reason for you in this world. If you know Jesus, you've been saved and you've been called for a purpose. And I'm telling you, a big part of that purpose is not to be ashamed of the testimony of Christ, but to go out and boldly say, you know what, I'm a Christian. What is the worst thing that can happen to us when we share the gospel? They can pull out a gun and shoot us, right? If you're ready to go, you just say, goodbye world, hello Jesus, right? I mean, seriously, I know that's kind of hard, or maybe a little bit hard to get around that thought of a gun and shooting and all, but I'm telling you, we ought not be ashamed of the gospel, because I've been saved and called for a purpose, and you've been saved and called for a purpose. And if God saved you and called you for a purpose, who in the world is going to nullify God's calling in your life? Nobody's. I mean, if you ever work somewhere and someone right above you makes a decision and you don't agree with it and you can't really talk to them, so you go above their head and they sometimes say, well, okay, we're going to reverse that decision. And why? Because there's nobody higher than God. Nobody could do away with his calling and his purpose for us. Five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Number one, because I do not want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Number two, because my whole life in Christ is Christ, that is, and nothing else really matters. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Third reason, I don't want to be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, because I've been saved and called for a purpose. And part of that purpose, a big, huge part of that purpose, is to share the gospel with those around us. Number four, and there's only five. Number four, 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you're in that chapter, you're still there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, drop down a couple verses there to verse 11. It says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. Paul's saying, I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, listen, he says, nevertheless, I suffer these things. So, I mean, when he served the Lord, it wasn't like easy peasy. It just blows my brain how preachers can get on television and say, when you serve Christ and you have enough faith and trust and you send in enough money to this ministry, everything's going to be good for you. I'm like, my goodness, do they not know what Paul went through? I mean, get a grip. he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He went through a lot of imprisonment, right? He's probably speaking of his imprisonment. These things, I'm in prison. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Paul says, even if I suffer, I'm still not ashamed. Look, for I know whom I have believed. Or as we say, believed in the song, right? I know whom I believed in. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day? The day when you die, the day of the Lord's return. He's saying, guess what? I've committed my soul to Jesus. And I know he's got this. I'm confident in Jesus. And because I am confident in Jesus and his trustworthiness and his dependability, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Wow. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now that kind of goes back to the guy pulling the gun on you when you try to tell him about Jesus, right? He's saying, you can do whatever you want to me because I'm confident. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am confident that he's got my soul. And even if I lose my life by being bold and not being ashamed of the gospel, being proud of the gospel in Jesus, guess what? I'm confident in the Lord. Why should we not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel? Because my Savior is trustworthy and dependable. How about yours? Amen. Last point. Five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Last one. Last reference. Last point. Tim, do I hear an amen out of you back there? Tim Cochran? Okay. All right. I was just making sure. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. See, y'all got the advantage. If you're looking at the screen, it comes up pretty quick. Sometimes I can't find it real quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now listen to this. Paul says, as he writes to the Roman Christians, here's the same word, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he says why he's not ashamed of the gospel. Again, you know what he's saying? I'm going to boldly, I'm proud of the gospel. I'm proud of Christ and what he's done. I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to shy away. I'm not going to be embarrassed to tell people about Jesus. But with a smile on my face and boldness in my heart, I'm going to tell people what Jesus did for them. Now, that's a little bit of paraphrase thrown in there from me, but I think that's what he's saying. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he says, why? Why? Why are you not ashamed of the gospel, Paul? For it is the power of God. I'm sure you've heard this if you've been in church any time. That power is like dynamite power. I mean, explosive power. It's the power of God unto salvation. It will save you. The gospel. Do you know the gospel has the power to save the worst rotten sinner that's ever lived in this world? Remind me on Wednesday night, we're going to start praying for the meanest person in Clarksburg because the gospel has the power to save the meanest person in Clarksburg. But he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I think that's speaking chronologically. The gospel was presented to the Jews first, and they rejected, and then it went to the Gentiles or to the Greeks. I believe it's chronological. But there should be a priority to try to reach God's chosen people. There still is chosen people. There's still a place for them in the future. But I think it's talking about that's the way the gospel went. It first came to the Jews. I am the Messiah. They rejected. It went to the Gentiles after that. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the righteousness of God is revealed more and more as we trust the Lord more and more from faith to faith as it increases. As it is written, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
You see, the last reason here to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, because the gospel of Christ is the power that saves. The power that saves. And when we in our mind may think, well, I'm bothering him with the gospel. You're not bothering him with the gospel. You are blessing him with the gospel. If you were in their shoes, lost and ready to face a godless hell throughout all of eternity, forever and ever, I mean, just think about that. When we share the gospel, it's the power that can save them. It's the power that can change them. It's the power that can help them be the dads and the moms and the grandparents that God wants them to be. It's the power that can take them to heaven. Think about that. Wow. Five reasons to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. Number one, because I do not want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Reason number two, to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. And again, you get sometimes that thought of the ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Well, I think elements of that are seen in all of us. And the right word is ashamed. We may not admit it, but we shy away from sharing the gospel. We're embarrassed to share the gospel. We hesitate to share the gospel. I think that all fits under the umbrella of being ashamed of Christ. I don't want to be ashamed of Christ, first of all, because I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Secondly, because my whole life is Christ and nothing else matters. Really, my whole life is Christ. And if you put him in the right priority, everything else falls into great place. A lot of people want to compartmentalize their life and say, well, the Lord's over here. He's about 2% of my life. I don't know. If I'm understanding Scripture right, and what Paul said, he said, Christ is my life. Third reason to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, we've already covered, because I have been saved and called for a purpose before the world was formed. Wow. I can guarantee that part of that purpose is to share the gospel. Fourthly, reason not to be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, because my Savior is trustworthy and dependable. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until the Lord's return or until I leave this world. God, Christ is dependable. And last reason to not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel, because the gospel of Christ is the power that will save people. I mean, really, we are doing our friends, our family, our neighbors, the people around us, a very huge, and that's an understatement, disservice by withholding the gospel from them. That's the best thing that could happen to them. The gospel. They hear it. They receive it by faith. Get saved. Change their heart. Change their life. Change their eternal destiny. Change their purpose. Wow. Question for you tonight as we close. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Again, that idea of embarrassed or hesitant to share, or shy to share, or unwilling to share, a covering up of the gospel in your life. I think they're all in that word, ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ?